Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Clint. Clarissa. Man, what a great night to be able to worship the Lord. I just love that song. And I think about, you know, I have a big map in my office, and it's the size of my wall, actually. And I love to look at Little Rock, because Little Rock is just a little bitty dot, you know, in this big world. And when I sing a song like what we just sang, where we cry, holy, 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 we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. You know, what I love about that is that we join the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of believers all over the world who are worshiping the living God. And it's really, really cool that we get to do that here in this spot, here in Little Rock and Midtown, and people are doing it all over the world. And so I'm really, really excited about it. I'm excited about this young crew right here on the front row. That's what I'm talking about. And ready to take notes and all that kind of stuff, represent. And so I'm glad you are here tonight. And I just dropped my glasses here. If you guys have a Bible tonight, I want you to go to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to talk about one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And I titled this, Can I Get a Connection? You know, some of you have heard that song, I'm sure, about Can You Get a Connection? And what it looks like to have connection. You know, we're living in a world where we take pride in the fact that there's so many ways to be connected to people. And yet what you find is that even as people are getting connected in certain ways, social media and otherwise, that we really are living in a time where people feel disconnected. It's interesting how that works. And so tonight we're going to talk about what it looks like to be connected to God, because we were created to worship Him and created to connect to Him. And so I want to encourage us in that. When I was thinking about this, though, what I know to be true is that healthy relationships grow, right? I mean, healthy relationships grow. So whether it's with you and your spouse, whether it's with you and your parents, whether it's with some classmates at school, whether it's with somebody at work, I mean, healthy relationships are designed to grow, not to just stay the way they are, not to go backwards, but actually move forwards, so that you see the connection is growing, and you're realizing that, you're experiencing that in more and more ways. And I remember when my wife and I first met, I met her at her church a long time ago in Athens, Georgia, and we communicated via email, okay? And this is back in the time where I guess I had a cell phone, but we weren't texting in those days. And matter of fact, we were in the dial-up stage where you would hear the computer dial up, you know, and then it was the, you've got mail. It was kind of, you know, it's that whole deal where some of you kids don't even know what that is. And so, but anyway, we would email each other. And I was so smitten with Julie. I was so in love with her already. I mean, I was just kind of falling head over heels in love with her. And I just couldn't wait to check, you know, my email. But I'll never forget the very first email I sent her. She actually kept all of our emails, okay? And I'm going to read all of them to you. No, I'm just kidding. She kept all of our emails. And so I want to read to you just a few emails, okay? This is the very first email I ever sent to Julie, okay? Now, keep in mind, we had met. I spoke at her church, and she was just overwhelmed with my, no, I'm just kidding. I spoke at her church, and I met her, and through a friend's mother, I ended up, you know, seeing if I could write her. She said I could write her. So this was the very first email I ever wrote her, and it goes a little something like this. Hey, Julie, hope this email finds you doing well. I was happy to receive your email address from our friend, and hope it's okay that I'm writing to you. Much has been going on here since I returned from Georgia back in July. So I kind of tell a little bit about, I'm finishing my last semester in seminary. I'm kind of telling her where I travel for a living to speak to students, you know. And then I just said this, well, I really do hope that it's okay I dropped you a note, okay? I enjoyed meeting you on that Sunday that I spoke to the youth group at Prince Avenue, and I thought it would be nice if I had the opportunity to correspond with you. It's a miracle she married me, all right? And I said, I must admit that I'm new at this because it's not normal for me to write someone after meeting them only once. Okay, so I didn't want to be like, hey, look out your window and wave. I didn't want her to think like there was some kind of like stalking her or whatever. And so I said, I really wanted to contact you. I'd love to hear back from you if you get the chance to write, and would love to get to know a little bit more about you. In the meantime, I'm praying for you. Sincerely, Brandon Bernard, right? I mean, so that was my first email to her, very formal, you know, good to meet you, opportunity to correspond with you. All right, so she writes me back. Actually, in the same day. Come on. And, or within a 24-hour span, I should say. hey, Brandon, it was nice to hear from you today. I just set up my email account, you know, and so she's joining the tech world, which was awesome. And so she had this, you know, says a little bit about some niceties or whatever. And then she said, hey, I enjoyed having you speak to our youth group, and I understand. By the way, she wasn't in the youth group, okay, just clarification. And so she was already out of the youth group. So just clarification. I enjoyed having you speak to our youth group. I understand from your letter that you must stay busy speaking. And then she starts playing 20 questions. Like, how did God call you in the ministry? How did you get to do what you're doing? You're in seminary, all that kind of stuff. And then she says this, I apologize for cutting this short tonight. I came home to my parents' house tonight to finish up a support letter for a mission trip. I was like, she loves missions. Yes, Lord, here we go. And then this is how she signed it. Okay, she said, I appreciate your willingness to contact me, and I look forward to hearing from you again. I mean, that's like, I'll have my people call your people, we'll do lunch. I mean, like, it's like this whole business kind of like, and then she just signed it, Julie. That was it, okay? So those are the first two emails we ever sent each other. But you fast forward into the relationship, okay? And, you know, it gets a little bit different. And I don't want to embarrass my wife tonight, but it may do that. It says, she said, hey, baby. these lights are hot. And she said, I'm getting ready to leave for work this morning, but I wanted to send you a quick email to let you know that I love you very, very, very much. Okay, kids, close your ears. And it says, August seems like an eternity. We were getting married in August. It says, August seems like an eternity away. I hope you get to do all that you want to get accomplished today. I'll be thinking about you as usual today and dreaming about the day that we'll be together. I miss you so much. And then she signed this. I love it. She says, being swept off my feet and loving every minute of it, Julie, I love you. Yeah. Those were good days. And so this was my email to her. This was a clear point in our relationship where we had had a hard conversation over the phone. We were long distance the whole time. Hey, sweetheart, it's almost midnight here. I'm thinking of you. My heart is carrying some pain. Uh-oh. Knowing that I hurt your heart tonight, just the thought of hurting you with my words and disappointing you makes me sad beyond description. You're the love of my life, far more than I deserve and far greater than anything I could ever imagine. One look at you and I realize that God has been more than gracious to me. I love you with all my heart. And then I don't know where these words come from, but I must have said something not good because I said, please know that my words misinterpreted my heart last night and they bypassed my brain and they left my mouth before I could straighten them out. So some of you guys are like, can I catch you? Can I get that afterwards? But then I just said, hey, know that the words I've penned in the last few moments reveal the true identity of my heart. As Christ loved the church, I want that to be my pattern. I want to strive to love you in the same way. And then I just signed it, I love you more with each passing day, Brandon. Now, I didn't share that just to like to be funny or anything like that necessarily, but what I want you to see and understand is this. Very first part of our relationship, it's like, it's nice to meet you, have the opportunity to correspond with you. I mean, kind of all this stuff, right? And then you fast forward into it, and it's like being swept off my feet and loving every minute of, and I'm sorry I hurt your heart, and you're the love of my life, far more than I deserve. And you see that? There's a progression there that moves from this formality of kind of meeting each other, kind of knowing each other, to a relationship that just grows richer and richer. Not free of pain, you heard that, not free of pain, not free of difficulties, but it grows richer and richer. You know, and now here we are, 17 years later, 5 kids, and we drive a minivan, all right? And so, I mean, life is amazing. But the reality of it is that healthy relationships grow. They just do. And when you think about connection and being connected with God, that's what God designs for us and what he desires of us, that our relationship with him is growing. That we don't look up and kind of go, you know what, we're still kind of in this formality stage, or we're still kind of this in this I just got to know you type stage. And it's kind of sad sometimes because you meet people who would say that they've been a Christian for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or maybe even 20 years. And it's interesting because sometimes you meet these people who would say they've been believers for such a long period of time, and yet when you look at the relationship between you and Jesus, it's almost like it's still as stale or as still as formal or still as kind of beginning as it was in the very beginning, so to speak. And that's not how God designed it to be. I mean, I could speak of it in terms of my kids. I mean, when my kids, my sons, especially my daughters, when they were like 2-3 years old, like I wanted to freeze them in that stage. I loved that stage, you know? It was just so fun and so cute and just snuggle and all this kind of stuff and rub our noses together and just, you know, I love you so much and, you know, don't ever change, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But as much as I wanted to freeze them in that stage, I don't want them to still look the same, be the same size, all that kind of stuff at 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old as they were at 2 years old. I want them to grow. I want them to grow. And that's what God desires of us, is he wants us to grow. See, one of the things that we value at Fellowship Bible Church that many of you already know, one of the things we value is we value connection with God. We value connection with others, as Aaron spoke about a few months ago. We value transformation, as Tim has spoken about. We value multiplication. That's why we're starting this campus in Midtown, right? We value multiplication. We want to see the gospel spread. But it all starts with this connection with God. That's what we value. And so, listen, if you've been walking with Jesus for 20 years, great. I want to hear how fresh it is now. Not how fresh it was back then. Although I'm open to your stories about the back then. But I want to hear how fresh it is now. I mean, put me around some people who would tell me exactly kind of now what God's doing in their life. And believe me, we all struggle at certain levels. And please don't think that just because I'm a pastor that it's always perfect in my life, because Julie could tell you even otherwise, you know? So I want us to look at John 15, and I want to read this passage to you. I want to read verses 1 through 11 together from John 15. And we have it on the screen as well, so if you don't have a Bible or a smart device or something like that, here's what it says. And John was writing, Jesus was speaking these words to his disciples. This is, by the way, during the last week of his life, really the last night as he prepares to teach the disciples what it means to walk with him. And he says this, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and they're thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So it's this beautiful time when Jesus is with his disciples and he basically says, you know what? I want you to get a few things right here. As I get ready to go to the cross, this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. As I get ready to go to the cross, there are a few things I want you to know that are very, very important. You know, listen, there are times in your life when you're with people whose days are numbered, and when they speak some things to you, you listen to what they say. And Jesus knew that his time here on earth was numbered, right? That his days were numbered, that he was headed to the cross. He knew that very shortly. And he says to his disciples, listen, you've got to get this right. You've got to get this right. And it was about connection with God, about connecting with him. You've got to make sure that this is a priority in your life and that this is what your life is about, because this is where it starts. And just like I said this earlier, you and I were created to connect with God, okay? So for all the young kids in here, you're created to connect with God. For all of us adults, we're created to connect with God. Now, interestingly enough, we're created that way, but that's not really how we come into this world. How does that work? Well, God created us to have eternity in our hearts. God created us to connect with him, but we come into this life disconnected with God. We come into this life born separated from God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when you and I are born, that we are dead in our sins. Like, we're not in bad shape. We're dead in our sins. But he has created us to connect with him. We must first be with Jesus before we ever do for Jesus. And through this connection, we also see that we were created for connection with others. And God didn't design us to do life on our own and all these kinds of things. He's created us to know and to be known. But what we know is that in understanding this, it starts first in connecting with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And he uses this term in John 15 that is a great term. And he says this term of abiding in Christ. And many of you who are here tonight, maybe you've been walking with Christ for a long time, and this word abide means something to you. For others of you, maybe this is kind of a new term for you. You know, we really don't use that word in our language, right? I'm going to go over to their house and we're going to abide. You know, like we're going to, I mean, we, you know, it's like someone didn't send me a text last night and say, hey, come over and watch the football game. Let's abide. I mean, that's not the word that we use, right? But this idea that we're going to hang out together, this idea that we're going to spend some time together. And the word is really so much richer than that, but it starts by just saying abiding in Christ is something that God's doing in our life that he wants us to do with Jesus. It's this idea of hanging out with him and spending time with him. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. So let me just kind of walk you through this passage, and really we're going to focus on verses 4 and 5. And in verse 4, he says this, he gives this command, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And then in verse 5, he says this amazing statement, I am the vine, you're the branches, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So there it is. He's telling us to abide in him. So what is abiding in Christ? What does it really mean? What does it really look like? What do we need to know about it as we think about connecting with God? And there are reasons why we don't connect with God, right? We're busy. We're lazy. We get distracted pretty easily. Sometimes it seems like our prayers don't get past the ceiling, and so we just kind of stop and we kind of give up. There's all kinds of reasons about why we don't connect with God. And yet it's the one thing he's created us to do and he's called us to do, and he gives us a blueprint for how we can do that. So here's what he says, abide in Christ. And here's what I want you to know tonight as we kind of work our way through this passage. A few things that you need to know. First of all is that abiding in Christ is an imperative, okay? It's a command. So if for some reason you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you're here tonight as a guest, let me just say this. Thank you for being here. You are welcome here. And we want you to feel comfortable here. We want you to get to know people here. We'd love to answer questions that we can for you. We'd love to be able to do that. You can stop by our connection center. We'd love to have a conversation with you. So thanks for being here. But for the rest of you who are believers here, right, the idea is this. This is an imperative. It's not like if you feel like it. It's not if you're having a good hair day. I mean, it's not like all these things that the stars have to kind of align for this to happen for you. This is an imperative. Jesus says, do this. You have to abide in Christ. It's for all believers, not an option. And he knows that it's best for us and that we need this. And the second thing there in your bulletin, you kind of see the outline. This is about identity, okay? This is all about identity. That's not on the screen, so you got to write it in for yourself. This is all about identity. Listen to what Jesus said. He says in verse 5, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Now, that's an important statement. Words matter. And he says, I'm the vine and you're the branch. In other words, he's saying, I'm the source of life, I'm the source of sustenance, I'm the source of strength, and you depend on me. You're connected to me. And for you to grow, you got to be attached to me. And that's why this is such a huge identity statement. Okay? And we have to get this right. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Listen, do not get this mixed up. Do not reverse this. Because what happens in your life and in my life sometimes is we reverse that. Even though you may not have the audacity to say it verbally, in your heart sometimes what we say to God is, hey, God, I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the source of life, I'm the source of strength, you're connected to me, right? It sounds kind of crazy coming out of my mouth because some of us think, man, I would never say that, and yet that's exactly how you live. That you want your own way, right? I mean, there is this selfishness that rises up within us too many times where it's like, I want God to do it my way. That's why we get frustrated with God when things aren't going right, maybe in our marriage, things aren't going right in our parenting, or things not going right at work, or things aren't really coming together for us on some of the plans that we've made for the future, or vacations, or different things like that. And so we begin to get frustrated with God because for some reason his plans are not what our plans are, and so we say, you're not doing what we want, right? It's like the kid who said, I'll be mad at you if you don't. Remember that? You ever heard that phrase? Like, that you're not doing what they want you to do, and they say, I'll be mad at you if you don't. My mom, when I said that, she said, well, I guess you'll get glad in the same pants you got mad in, right? That's what she used to say to me. It's amazing that some of us are still alive, that we have somehow shaken our fist in the face of God and saying, God, if you don't give me this, if this doesn't happen in my life, if this doesn't come together like I want it to come together, if it doesn't, the pieces don't come together and it doesn't happen like this, I'll be mad at you if you don't. As if God owes us something. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, don't don't get this mixed up. Know your identity. I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the source of life, I'm the source of strength, I'm the sustenance that you need. You need to be connected to me. Isn't it interesting that we raise our kids to be independent, right? So that technically they're not living off us for the rest of their lives. We want them to be independent. So we raise them, we pour into them, we help them make choices, we let them make mistakes while they're living under our roof. I mean, all these kinds of things. And the idea is that we launch them to be independent. And yet the life with Jesus is actually just the opposite, that he doesn't want us to grow less dependent upon him as we get older. He wants us to grow more dependent upon him. And isn't that hard for us as adults? It's hard for us the older we get to be more reliant, it seems like, because we don't want to be that way. And yet the scriptures are saying, look, the older you get and the further you walk into your relationship with Christ, it's not the less dependent you are upon him, it's the more dependent upon him that you are. It's the more that you have to wake up and hit your knees and kind of go, God, help me make it through this day. And that's what people need to see in us as believers, as we connect with God, is this greater dependence upon him. We have to get this right. Here's what abiding means. Some of you probably know this already. It means to continuously stay, remain, dwell. Right? When we're abiding in Christ, it's something that's it's continuous. Stay, remain, dwell. It's happening over and over and over again, right? So technically, I would hope you would never say to somebody like, yeah, man, abiding in Christ, yeah, I did that 10 years ago. Okay. That's not good. Don't say that. That's theologically incorrect. That wouldn't be something you want to be proud of. You know, yeah, man, abiding, man, I used to do that. It was good. No, it's supposed to happen on an ongoing basis, right? Because this is about an ongoing relationship that happens over and over and over again. And what's interesting is, even as I look out at this crowd, because some of you have been fellowship, you know, for a long time, and you've heard Bible studies and you've been in Bible studies and all this kind of stuff, and this abiding thing is so basic, and yet why do we struggle with it so much? Because it's the very thing we need. And yet we do. We struggle. I struggle with it at times. Sometimes I turn my sermon prep time into my time with God, which is not good. But this idea of continuously staying and remaining and dwelling, that we're hanging out with Jesus, we're spending time with Jesus, that he is making himself at home in us. Some of you know the name Bruce Wilkinson. He wrote the book a long time ago called The Prayer of Jabez. I think he wrote The Dream Giver. He used to work, he was president of Walk Through the Bible Ministries. I mean, he's said a lot of things. And Bruce said this one time. He said, I have become an expert at serving God, but somehow remained a novice at being his friend. I become an expert at serving God, and I was still a novice. I was still a beginner at being his friend. And I would hate for that to be your testimony. I'd hate for it to be my testimony. But this abiding is something that happens over and over and over again. And abiding doesn't measure how much you know about your faith or your Bible, because there's plenty of Bible knowledge even in this room. We could take some people out in Bible trivia. I have no doubt about that. We could go to some places and dominate. I don't know where that happens, but we could do that, right? But in abiding, you seek and you long for and you thirst for and you wait for and you see and you know and you love and you hear and you respond to a person. More abiding means more of God in your life, more of him in your activities, your thoughts, and your desires, right? As you want more and more and more of him. To go back to my opening illustration with Julie, let me tell you something. I've never considered myself a talk-on-the-phone kind of guy, and yet why did I talk to her for 3 hours at a time? I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to talk to her. I couldn't wait to see her. I couldn't wait to fly to Athens, Georgia, to knock on her door and just show up and surprise her. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait. Because that's what happens when you're in love, right? That's what happens. That's why it's dangerous. And Jesus referred in the book of Revelation, he said, you know, you've lost your first love. Because love can make you do some crazy things. And this abiding, what happens for a lot of us is the reason that we're not abiding in Christ like we need to be is because we have lost sight of the love, right? That's why he tells us to abide in his love, because he knows if we abide in his love, if we experience that love, then that's what's going to happen, which leads me to my next point. Abiding, right, in Christ, it happens by believing and receiving his love. It happens by believing and receiving his love. That's how abiding in Christ truly happens, that we believe in the love that God has for us and we receive the love that God has for us. And that's what abiding is all about. That's why we have to do it on an ongoing basis, that we keep coming back to Christ and we see his love for us. We stare at the cross and we recognize that the cross shouts the love, the hospitality, the generosity of God. And so the more that we focus on the cross, the more that we focus on the love of Christ in us, the more that we receive his love. And by the way, for some of us, it's tough for us to receive love because of experiences that we've had in the past and maybe how we grew up and our backgrounds. But the Bible is saying this, and Jesus is saying, listen, you've got to receive my love. And the more we receive his love, then the more that we want to love him back. It's just this beautiful cycle that happens. And it's hard because sometimes it's hard for us to receive, but when we receive his love, that's when the affections kind of rise out of that. And it's so hard because, I mean, you guys are on the cusp of helping launch a campus here. So this room is filled with a bunch of achievers and doers and pioneers. And let me tell you what's hard for doers sometimes. It's hard for you to be. Because you're like, I hear you, man. Abiding in Christ sounds great. What do you want me to do? Well, what I want you to do is I want you to be. Yeah. But I need next steps. I need formula. We got things we got to do. Listen, when I first started teaching this message, even at Fellowship, about abiding in Christ, I had some people approach me. They were worried about my theology. They were worried about my teaching. And they were basically saying, look, if you just tell people to abide in Christ, you're going to get a bunch of people who love Jesus but don't do anything. But you know what? That's not biblical. I'm going to say this, and this is a big statement here. I'm going to say this, but here's the danger for some of us. You can do without being, but you can't biblically be without doing. Okay? You can do, and you can serve, and you can do, and you can serve, and you get involved in that, and you can find your identity in that, which is wrong. You can do all. Listen, I know this. I was going to church 9 months before I was born, okay? I've been in church all my life, right? People find their identity in being a small group leader. People find their identity in being an ex-team member. People find their identity in these things because it makes them feel good. People go on mission trips and build and paint and do all that kind of stuff because it makes them feel good. And they find their identity in what they're doing. Let me tell you something. Do not find your identity in what you do. Find your identity in who you are in Christ. Because I'm telling you, when you abide in Christ, you will do. You'll do. And for the person who's not doing, who says they're abiding in Christ, they're lying to you. They're not abiding in Christ. It's not biblically possible. It's possible to do and not be, but it's not possible to be and not do. It happens by believing and trusting. It happens by believing and receiving his love. It's hard for us to do that sometimes. Here's I think, the next last thing. It happens by believing and trusting in his word, right? Abiding, you believe and you receive his love, but then abiding is you believe and you trust his word. You trust in his word. Now listen, this is a hard thing because you guys are living in Midtown and you're going to encounter people. You already have friends, you already have neighbors, you already have people who work with who struggle with believing that this is even real, that this matters. And you're going to have those conversations with people. And we have to trust that the Spirit is doing this. We have to know why the scriptures are important. We have to know that they're legitimate. We have to know all those kinds of things and be able to have those conversations with people. But at the end of the day, for believers in Jesus Christ, we have to believe and trust in his word. I mean, one of the things I pray for my kids and one of the things I pray for our church and for myself and my wife is that God would give me an appetite for his word. That he would give us a craving for his word. Just like you crave something. Julie and I just went through a season where we took a break from some different types of foods. It's the longest of my life I've ever been without bread. I'm like, I can't do this. I mean, Jesus is the bread of life. I mean, I can't do this, right? And when you're in the midst of all that, when you're in the midst of saying no to something, you just crave it. I feel so sorry for her. I mean, I was just wearing her out. It's like, I just need some. I mean, I just kept talking about it over and over again. I'm like, I need this. Oh, man. You know what I pray for you guys? I just pray that God would give us a craving for this, for him and for his word. Oh, man. You know, it's really sweet when you meet a couple who've been married for 43 years, Chip and Jean, congratulations. It's fun when I celebrate my parents and my in-laws, both of them been married for 50 years. It's fun when a couple can genuinely say this. Not every couple can, but it's fun when a couple can humbly and genuinely say this. You know what? We love each other more now than we ever have. That it just gets richer and richer. Not easier and easier, but richer and richer. And that's what God's design is for us, to connect with him. And it happens by believing and trusting in his word. There has to be a trust in his word. Listen to what he says in John 8, 31, 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, right? So in John 15, he says, abide in my love, receive my love. And then he says this, abide in my word. Spend time on my word. There's no substitute for it. I don't care if you want to listen to it audibly or if you want to have somebody read it to you or you want to read. We need to be in his word, and his word needs to be in us, which, by the way, those are two different things, right? It's not enough just to be in his word. We need his word to be in us. I love when we read the Bible, and I love when we let the Bible read us, right? Because it pegs us. It knows us. Because God is, it's living and active. So we need to be trusting in the word of God. We need to be hiding God's word in our hearts. How are you doing in memorizing scripture? Because sometimes at a certain, past a certain age, we just check out and say, man, I can't do this. I'm doing good if I remember my kids' names. I mean, you know, they have to flag me down. I got five kids. I'm like, but, get to me. Okay, yes, okay, that's you. I got it. Right? We have a tough time memorizing things, and yet it's one of the things we need to be working on, that we're memorizing scripture. It's one thing to read a verse. It's another thing to quote a verse, and it's certainly another thing to live a verse, right? And you can read some verses, and you can quote some verses, but it's another thing to live a verse. We need to be hiding God's word in our hearts, because there's a little verse that's tucked away in Psalm 119 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not, anybody know this? That I might not sin against you, right? So all of us, we all struggle with sin, okay? If we don't, you're lying, and that's a sin. So we all struggle with sin, right? I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's saying, man, if you hide my word in your heart, it's going to help you fight sin and temptation. Isn't that beautiful? Here's what knowing the word does for us. I just kind of wrote this down so you guys could kind of see this. Knowing the word gives us strength to combat the enemy. You're going to encounter some attacks, especially as we think about launching this campus here. There are going to be some things that are going to come against you, because Satan doesn't want another gospel. He doesn't want another gospel light in the Midtown area. Okay, he doesn't. He doesn't. So as a church, we're going to come against these things. As families, we're going to come against these things. And know this, knowing the word of God gives us strength to combat the enemy. Knowing the word of God gives us words to pray in times of joy and sorrow. Listen, when you know, sometimes people are like, I just don't know what to pray. Well, you know what? Try scripture. That's helpful. You walk into a hospital room, you walk into a room with a family, they're celebrating the birth of a new baby, they're celebrating celebrating something that's happening within their job, that they've got a promotion, they're going through a tragic time with a family member. You know what? Learn to pray the word of God in times of joy and sorrow. Let's be a kind of people, as you launch this Midtown campus, let's be the kind of leaders, the kind of servants that gets into the word of God, and we know how to pray in times of joy and sorrow. Knowing the word helps us fight temptation. Listen, the more you and I know the word of God, it helps us fight lust. It helps us fight greed. It helps us fight jealousy. It helps us fight pride. It helps us fight against the sins that are constantly berating us. Knowing God's word helps us do that. And I hope that you see your need for that. Knowing God's word helps us to share our faith. Man, there's so many people in Midtown who need to know who Jesus is. And knowing his word helps us share our faith. Knowing the word helps us grow in grace and knowledge. As we know the word of God, as we love the word of God, it helps us in all these ways. There's the last thing. It happens both by yourself and in community with other believers. Right? Abiding in Christ happens by yourself, but it also happens in community with other believers. That's why being in a small group gathering, a D group, a discipleship group, is going to be so important for you. That's why it's important sometimes for you to be with other people and pray with them. That's why it's important for you to be with people sometimes and just read the word of God together. I met a guy named Dr. Gary Friesen. People call him Dr. G. And Dr. G, what he did for years with students is he would do Bible marathons. And he would get groups together, and they would sit in a room, and for a few hours, they would read like the whole book of Philippians, or they would read the whole book of, you know, Ephesians, or they'd read the whole book of Hebrews or whatever. And they would do it, and they'd stop at different points, and they would pray and talk and discuss a little bit and share a little bit. But they were just in the Word. And they did it together as a community. And so abiding in Christ is not just something that's private, although it needs to be. It's not just something that's corporate, but it needs to be. Like, there needs to be people in your life and your community that you are abiding in Christ together. You're seeking him together, falling deeper in love with Christ together. And you need a time and place, and you need an example to follow. And I could give you all these things, but I know that Tim, Clint, the team that's here, they'll be glad to encourage you guys in that. There's resources out there. One of the things that Julie and I have used for a while is something called New Morning Mercies. It helps us get into the Word of God, but it also gives us something that kind of encourages us in a way that's very practical and helpful in the life that we're living right now. But here's what I know. The result of living this life of connection with God is that our lives will bear fruit and glorify God, okay? This is what he says in John 15 in verse 8. He says, by this you'll prove to be my disciples. Everybody's going to know that you're my disciples, and you'll bear fruit, right? You'll bear fruit because when you abide in Christ, he fills you with his Spirit. And when he fills you with his Spirit, that produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. I don't know about you tonight, but here's what I'd say. I could use more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in my life. Can I get an amen at least from my wife? I mean, I could use more of that in my life, right? My kids could benefit from more of that in my life. Listen, your marriage could benefit from more of the fruit of the Spirit. Kids, your parents could benefit more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But the way you get the fruit of the Spirit is not by trying harder. The way that you get the fruit of the Spirit is by abiding in Christ. And he fills you with his Spirit, and you begin to grow in those things of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. You begin to do that. That is the joy of connecting with God. And my hope and prayer for you is that as we continue to know each other as a church family, that 6 months from now, a year from now, 18 months from now, that you and I are having some lively conversations somewhere along the way where you say, you know what? My life with Christ, my abiding in Christ is richer now, it's fuller now, it's more vibrant now than it was 6 months ago. That doesn't mean there won't be struggles along the way, but there is something that's happening unique and powerful in that moment. We were created to connect with God, to abide in Christ. And this is what he longs for us to do. And you know what? There's more to be had there. Tim and I, one of the things I love about Tim Caldwell, we've been doing ministry together for a long time. And he said this before. I think I've said this before. We've said it together to each other before. But you know what? You can have as much of God as you want. He is a fountain that never runs dry. And this idea of abiding in Christ, that is what's going to help make this campus grow, is because it's going to grow deep in its love for Christ and being with Christ. And the deeper you grow in being with Christ, I am confident the more that you will do for Christ. Okay? So go deep and be so that you can biblically do in a way that makes a difference in this community. Okay? Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for your love to us, and thank you for the beautiful truth that we have in you. And I pray that you would help us to connect with you, God. We need you so desperately. And I pray for the young hearts that are here tonight, for the older hearts that are here tonight, God, that you would give us an appetite for your word. That you would help us to receive your love and to trust in your word. That you would help us to know that when we spend time with you, we become like you. And so I pray that you would help us to be diligent to find that time, to find that place, to find that group that we can go deeper in the scriptures together, that we can pray together, that we can pursue you together. We can find out what it really means to continuously stay and dwell and remain with you, Jesus. And please help us to get it right. Please help us not to mix up our identity. Help us to know that you are the vine. You are the source of life, and we are the branch, and we must be connected. We must be dependent upon you. So create a greater dependence in us upon you. We love you, and we need you. Would you lead us to abide in you, that we may be filled with your Spirit, that we might display the fruit of your Spirit everywhere we go. It's in Christ's name we pray.